Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. You are a nation void of understanding. This is what God tells us, the American people, in His Word, the Bible. And I will explain a little bit more about this in the remainder of this program. But first, I'd like to give you a striking example as to why this prophecy, this statement, is so absolutely accurate and relevant to us today. Because we are talking about the debt ceiling and the fact that the debt ceiling was raised again, something which we have told you would happen. But nevertheless, we also told you in our previous Standing Watch programs that that is not going to be necessarily a good sign, and that thereby the economy is not going to improve. In fact, the opposite is going to happen. Let me very briefly recapitulate what happened this last week and also the reactions specifically from overseas as to what we have been observing. Here's an article by the Daily Mail, the British paper, the Daily Mail, dated August 2, saying this: "For now, the American debt crisis is over. To many us here in Britain, the dispute seemed a bizarre exercise in brinkmanship, with posturing politicians taking the world's largest economy to the verge of default. The truth is that although disaster has been averted for now, the U.S. debt crisis has been a troubling sign of seismic change. The American economy is in deep trouble." Notice, not was in deep trouble, is in deep trouble. It goes on to say, "It is no exaggeration to say that the American economy is at a crossroads. At some future moment, the American people will look around and wonder where it all went wrong. But by then, of course, it will be too late." My friends, this is almost prophetic, because we read in God's Word that that is exactly what's going to happen. And then the American people will wonder, what did they do? What was so wrong? You see, financial experts today may tell you, to an extent, what can be expected to happen insofar as the economy is concerned, but they cannot tell you, they won't tell you, because they don't know why. What are the reasons for this demise of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth? An article by the Washington Times is perhaps even more striking, because on August 3, this is what they wrote: "U.S. debt shot up $239 billion on Tuesday, the largest one-day bump in history, as the government flexed the new borrowing room it earned in this week's debt limit increase deal. The debt subject to the statutory limit shot way past the old cap of $14.294 trillion to hit $14.532 trillion on Tuesday. That increase, notice carefully, that increase puts the government already remarkably close to the new debt limit of $14.694 trillion, which means one day's new borrowing ate up 60% of the $400 billion in space Congress granted the president this week. Now, as I will explain in a moment, the debt limit is going to be raised in two stages. What we are talking about here is the first stage. So we have already almost reached the first stage. Incredible. Unbelievable. CNN wrote on July 28, We do have a large deficit and debt, and we do need to get it under control. All right. It goes on to say, the tragedy here is that the damage has already been done. From now on, every time the debt ceiling needs to be raised, pardon me, needs to be raised. So we want to keep continuing raising the debt ceiling, needs to be raised. They say every time it needs to be raised, the world will wonder, will the U.S. stand by its promises or will it break them? Something that was taken for granted, the credibility of the United States, is now surrounded by uncertainty. And then it goes on to say, for this erosion, we have only ourselves to blame. Well, yeah, that's true. But I can't believe reading something like that. So we want to continue raising the debt ceiling so that we can borrow more money. Here's an article by CNN, or CBS News, rather, dated August 1. That bill to increase the debt ceiling, or the debt limit, by up to $2.4 trillion, because that's what's ultimately going to be the case, is the largest increase in the debt limit in U.S. history by a margin of $0.5 trillion. In fact, the two largest debt limit increases in U.S. history have come in back-to-back years, both during the presidency of Barack Obama. So ever since Barack Obama took office, we have now increased the debt limit twice, with the highest proportions ever in the history of the United States. And it's still not enough. We still have to continue raising the debt ceiling. Der Spiegel Online explained a little bit clearly what actually was agreed upon. In an article dated August 1, it said, during the next decade, U.S. federal government expenditures are to shrink by $1 trillion. $1 trillion only. And a special committee in Congress is expected to outline an additional $1.5 trillion in savings by the end of November. If they are unable to reach a deal on the additional savings, and virtually everybody tells you they are definitely going to be unable to reach a deal because committees have never reached anything, it goes on to say, then cuts will automatically be made across the board, including to the defense budget and to social welfare programs. In exchange, the U.S. debt ceiling will be raised in two stages, by up to $2.4 trillion over the current level of $14.3 trillion. This will enable the U.S. government to remain solvent and pay its bills, at least through 2012, and pass the next presidential election. So once we have reached the second stage, still prior to 2012, our deficit will be $16.7 trillion. That's a debt ceiling, the new debt ceiling, and apparently it's still not enough. No wonder that the reactions from overseas, especially from Germany, were absolutely condemnatory. Here's an article again by Der Spiegel Online dated August 3. The German press has heavily covered the U.S. debt ceiling debate. Editorial cartoonists, too, have tackled the issue. Some have even featured pictures of vultures, an image associated in Germany with someone or something that is bankrupt. One cartoon showed Mount Rushmore with four vulture heads replacing those of the four presidents. And a cartoon in the Financial Times Deutschland Wednesday shows a vulture running from Capitol Hill, uttering a promise that he will return. And then they quote some other papers, like the conservative Die Welt, which wrote this: it is without a doubt that the last-minute compromise between Democrats in the Senate and congressional Republicans has only pushed off dealing with the conflict to another day. The Tageszeitung wrote, cuts of the huge budget, I mean the $2.5 trillion debt, that seems huge, they say, but spread out over 10 years, they make up only 1.5% of U.S. economy output in today's dollars. With inflation and growth, this percentage even grows smaller. So what they're saying is it's an absolute useless exercise. It is without any promise of success. The Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung wrote, the biggest loser of the compromise is clearly the average American citizen. Even though a default has been prevented, the insecurity over the economic and financial policies in the U.S. has risen, not declined. Papers already talk about the American nightmare. They're saying the American dream has become the American nightmare. Deutsche Welle wrote about that on July 25, saying, you know, when did the American dream become a nightmare? Der Spiegel Online wrote on July 27, U.S. finances are still a mess. Total debt is approaching 100% of gross domestic product, putting it in the same league as Italy, Portugal, and Ireland, three of the Eurozone's famous PIC states. Those PIC states, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain. America's budget deficit, now I want you, my friends, to listen to this very, very carefully, because it gives you a flavor as to where we really are today. America's budget deficit is well over $1 trillion, more than 10% of GDP. Were Washington to apply to become a member of the Eurozone, the European Common Currency Zone, it would be rejected out of hand. They are saying they wouldn't even qualify to become a member of the Eurozone, and you know how much trouble the Eurozone presently is in. But they're saying Washington is so far off, so much disqualified, they would not gain access to the Eurozone. That's how incredibly dangerous our economic situation is over here. I want to also read to you this article. It's an opinion, an editorial in Der Spiegel Online, dated August 4, but it expresses very vividly how Europeans think today. It says, this week, the United States nearly allowed itself to succumb to economic disaster. Increasingly, the divided country has more in common with a failed state than a democracy. In the face of America's apparent political insanity, Europe must learn to take care of itself. An unruly and aggressive militarism set in motion two costly wars in the past 10 years. And I just read an article in Die Welt, a conservative paper, saying that these wars were absolutely useless and irresponsible. So that's how the Europeans feel about that. It goes on to say, in its ideological blindness, the nation is moving even further away from the core of democracy. It goes on to say, America has changed. It has drifted away from the West. It has become self-destructive. One can no longer depend on politics in America. From a European perspective, it all looks very strange. It is a different political culture. There are other rules at play, different standards. More and more, we view America with a clear notion that we are different. Nevertheless, at least one good opportunity springs from America's fate. The further the United States distance itself from us. Notice this. The more the United States distance itself from us, the more we Europeans, we will have to think for ourselves as Europeans. The West, that is us. My friends, we have been telling you for decades that the relationship between Europe and the United States of America will deteriorate, that America will fall and that Europe will rise. We told you that at a time when Germany was in ruins after World War II. We told you that at the time when the Treaty of Rome was founded and made, bringing in motion the what is now today called the European Union. We told you that at a time when the Berlin Wall was built, we said the Berlin Wall will fall again. Germany will reunite because the Bible has been telling us that Germany will lead Europe. We said that at a time when German politicians even told us, no, never ever believe in European unification. The former German president, Gerhard Schröder, said, let's forget that dream, it's never going to happen. From a human standpoint, perhaps he was correct, but we looked at this from a biblical standpoint and we knew the Berlin Wall would fall. We are now telling you that Europe will rise and a core Europe will develop out of the 27 member states, which will lead Europe. It's going to consist of 10 nations or groups of nations. They will give their authority and their power to a very charismatic political and military leader. The paradox is, here Der Spiegel writes about America losing democracy. It's going to be Europe which will not have any democracy in a few years from now. The relationship between Europe and the United States of America will get to the point where it's going to become hostile, even to the point of war. Some shake their head today saying that could never happen. Well, they shook their head at the time when we said Germany will reunite, the Iron Curtain will fall. Hopefully some will wake up. We are telling you this, my friends, because the Bible makes this very clear. I'd like to read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 32, a prophecy which is given to ancient Israel, but it's not really directed at ancient Israel, it's directed at the end times today. And when I'm talking about Israel, I'm not talking about the state of Israel in the Middle East, I'm talking about the descendants of the ancient house of Israel, which by and large can be found today in Great Britain and the United States of America. And notice what God is telling us, the United States of America. We forsook God who made us. I'm quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 32. And we scornfully esteemed the rock of our salvation. Now, are we doing this? do we hear in all these discussions about our economic demise that we may have departed from God, the true God of the Bible, that that is the reason why we are experiencing what we are experiencing. I haven't heard a lot about this, and when people start talking about God, they're not talking about the God of the Bible, my friends. The God who is revealed in Scripture. They have all kinds of ideas as to what God they want to turn to, but it's not the God of the Bible. It goes on to say in here, of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful, and you have forgotten the God who fathered you. And when the Lord saw it, he spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom there is no faith. I pray that this doesn't apply to you, my friends who are listening. I pray you are not bored by me quoting scriptures to you. Because if you are, you will fall into this category God is very unhappy about. He goes on to say, I will heap disasters on them. The sword shall destroy outside, and there shall be terror within. Did you know that God thousands of years ago prophesied that in these end times we will have terrorism to deal with inside our own borders? He goes on to say, the young man and virgin, the nursing child, with a man of gray hairs, they will experience it. He says, for they are a nation void of counsel, the scripture which I quoted at the beginning of this program. See, we keep borrowing money. The Bible says, the borrower is servant of the lender. The Bible says, don't do it. The Bible says, it is a wicked who borrows and is not paying back. If we are a righteous people, then we don't have to borrow. But we have received a situation where we have become a nation without understanding. It goes on to say there is no understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end, a clear reference to the end times. How could one chase 1,000? That's still going to happen, my friends. It's happening already to an extent when you think of the war in Afghanistan. He's asking the question, how could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Unless their rock, the true God of the Bible, had sold them and the Lord had surrendered them. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. And the things to come hasten upon them. It's going to happen very quickly. We are seeing the beginnings of the end. It's going to come very quickly. It will hasten upon us. And it's high time for us to wake up. It goes on to say in the same chapter, for the Lord will judge his people when he sees that their power is gone. In the parallel scripture in Leviticus 26, God says that I will break the pride of their power. Our power is virtually gone. People are looking at us and treating us as a laughing stock. We are becoming more and more isolated in the world. There is no more confidence in us in the United States of America, the greatest power on the face of the earth, because the power is diminishing. Now, it doesn't give me great pleasure as an American to tell you this. I love my country. But I have to tell you what the Bible says. And I have to tell you what's in store for this country, because we have forsaken the God of the Bible. My friends, I am praying that you are different. I am praying that you will return to God if you have forsaken him, or that you maintain a very close relationship with God, because God is promising you that he can and will protect you even in times of turmoil, even in times of great depression and repression and recession. You can be protected. You can be helped. You can be in a different category than the rest of the people. But it's up to you to take the right steps. Thanks very much for listening, for watching, for considering what we have been hearing today on this program. Because we will continue informing you as to what is happening. And the times of the signs of the time are not that good. Now, good news is ahead of us. Because the Bible also tells us when these things are happening, The return of Jesus Christ has come very near. The only hope mankind has that the Savior, Jesus Christ, whom most don't even accept today, will come to make an end to this nonsense, to wrong political governments, wrong political leadership, all these wars in this world, and establish what we have been praying for and many of us are praying for daily, establish the kingdom of God here on this earth. And don't we say, your kingdom come? We are praying to God the Father that he would hasten the day that this will happen. So again, this is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.